You're listening to a Hindustan Times podcast brought to you by HT Smartcast.
Welcome to season 2 of our podcast Kicks for Free, in which we discuss all things football. I am Dhiman, and with me is my co-host Vivek.
Messi!
Like India, football is not Pakistan's favorite sport, not even the second most popular sport, again like India. But that is where the similarity ends. India is no benchmark, far from it actually. But association football is way worse off in Pakistan. They have been banned twice over the past 6 years.
So to find out more about the federation, the FIFA bans, the national team and its preparations for the SAF championships, we spoke to Umaid Wasim, the sports editor of Dawn. Wasim was the first from Pakistan to report on a football World Cup. That was in 2014. He has since been to two more World Cups. And his exposés on corruption in football in Pakistan may not have won him friends, but they surely influenced how the world football authorities view how the sport is run in that country. Let's listen to Umaid.
Hi, Umaid. The good news is that Pakistan are coming for the SAF championship. The not so good news, of course, is that they left it really late to make it to Bengaluru. Why did this delay happen? We got to know only yesterday that they're coming for sure. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, there were a lot of factors involved. You know, firstly, the ministry in Pakistan, they said that they hadn't received complete documentation from the PFF, which, of course, delayed their processing from here because they needed an NOC to travel to India. So once the NOC was delayed, and then, of course, you know, the diplomatic problems between Pakistan and India and all that.
Yeah.
So they were due to travel to Mauritius for the Four Nations Cup. And they only received the NOC on Friday, this last Friday. So at that time, of course, with the Indian High Commission closed for the weekend, they were only going to get the passports with the visas on Monday. So, yeah, that's what happened.
So, I mean, Umaid, why was it that there was such a delay in getting the NOC? Because the dates for SAF was announced a long time back. Everyone knew that Pakistan were coming.
Yeah, so, basically, what happens is that every federation, when a team has to travel, so they have to submit a surety bond that none of the players are going to, like, abandon the team and run away. So, that surety bond, every federation has to submit. And the ministry had made it very clear with the PFF that with a lot of foreign-based players traveling with the team, so they wanted to make sure that nobody slips in India. So the federation initially, they said that, no, we're not going to give the surety bond. But eventually they had to relent. So there was a significant delay. And then eventually they got the NOC and then they applied for visas on Thursday, I think. Yeah, they went to the Indian High Commission on Thursday, to which the Indian High Commission told them that you don't have the NOC document. A lot of things could have happened, you know. I mean, I frankly believe that, you know, PFF should have been a little more proactive in getting the NOC. And the Indian High Commission could have, like, issued visas immediately once they got the NOCs on Friday before the embassy, before the High Commission closed. So, I mean, a lot of factors there. But the good thing is that they are coming. The bad news is they're going to play like less than 12 hours after reaching Bangalore.
Have they ever done that?
No.
Do you know of an incident? Okay.
Not in my past memory, but this is going to be the first time. And this is going to be a real test. Because India are much, much more superior than Pakistan in terms of the football team.
We'll come to that in a bit, but Umaid, I mean, as the first journalist from Pakistan at a World Cup, as someone who's writing on the Pakistan Football Federation, it is said, got FIFA to act. Aren't you being missed by the team and by the SAF by not being here?
I wish I could have been there. I mean, unfortunately for me, I mean, I haven't covered the national team a lot. I mean, I have covered more international matches otherwise than covering the national team. And a lot of it has to do with the bans that have been in place in recent times, and you know, the inactivity of the national team, because they haven't played a lot. It's only since June last year that we were reinstated and a 15-month ban was removed. And of course, there was political turmoil in the PSL going on. That's been going on since 2015. So, you know, since that time, we only have played a handful of friendlies, a couple of World Cup qualifiers, and that is that. So, yeah, I mean, I am missing out on what would have been a great tournament, but yeah.
Umed, you spoke about the bans. Could you give us some detail on what led to those bans in the first place and how eventually they managed to get it lifted last year, as you mentioned?
I think you and I, we all can understand that in the subcontinent, you know, you can't be ahead of a federation without government support. And, right, you know, FIFA has these strict things regarding government interference and all. So it started with a sham election in 2015, in which the head of the federation got himself elected for yet another time. The sports policy that is in place in Pakistan said otherwise. So there was a long legal wrangle with the government and the courts saying that, you know, he couldn't be elected for another time. There was another group that the court appointed to lead the federation. And of course, you know, that brought upon the first ban, even though, you know, we had two parallel federations running for since 2015 to 2017. So there were two parallel federations, one run by the government, the other, of course, the one which was backed by FIFA and AFC at that time. And eventually it was in October.
Sorry, Umed, which one was the Pakistan Football Federation? That was the one that was recognized by FIFA and there was one being run by the government.
Yeah. The one appointed by the courts. Right. So, I mean, there were two federations, but of course, you know, any federation, you know, even the one which was backed by FIFA, could not send teams abroad because, of course, they needed government documentation and the government didn't recognize it. So, I mean, for 2 years, football came to a standstill. And then what happened was we had a 6-month ban that was eventually lifted in March 2018 before the World Cup that year. And then came another ban after the installation of the normalization committee. And the normalization committee has been in place since September 2019. And the frustration of the local officials of it not being able to conduct elections meant there was a forced takeover of the PFF headquarters. And once that takeover took place, FIFA immediately acted. So there was a 15-month ban that got lifted in June last year.
Okay.
The normalization committee returned. Yeah.
But why was the normalization committee there for as long as it was? I mean, 2019 to... I believe there's a normalization committee even now. But isn't that too long for a normalization? I mean, things should have been normal by now, for want of a better phrase.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's what I believe so too. But I mean, the normalization committee in a lot of ways has kind of delayed the election process. We're only starting it now. I mean, and there's a lot of factors regarding why it's been delayed, and we can all sit here and criticize. I mean, I have been the biggest critic of the normalization committee, and it does not like me that much. You can understand. I mean, for this World Cup, even they tried to block my accreditation and all. So, you know, I mean, once you criticize people, I mean, they'll turn up against you. But I mean, the normalization committee, in my view, is not doing its job, and it's not doing its job correctly. Even with the Pakistan football team, you have a big conflict of interest because the coach of the team is already employed by a departmental team in Pakistan. He has a permanent job in Pakistan Air Force football team. Recently at the national games, he was coaching the PAF team. And, you know, of course, there comes this thing of favoritism for the players he has on PAF team. In a lot of ways, the normalization committee and its chief, who formerly used to have a social media football show, I mean, he's always been very outspoken about the need to have foreign-based players. I mean, that's what we're seeing in the normalization committee. I mean, since they've made the team, a lot of it is foreign-based, and a lot of local players who might have said something against the normalization committee have been sidelined. You know, I mean, looking at the current team, even I feel that there could be one or two players who could easily be in this team. And we'll probably talk about the performances later on. But I think there are a lot of questions on the team selection as well.
So, you know, how did football suffer in the time that Pakistan was banned? It's been quite a long time that they were banned. What kind of a setback was it?
See, we haven't had a solid domestic league season since 2014. That was the last time a season concluded
since 2014?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that is something which is very sad. I mean, you know, we used to have the Pakistan Premier Football League, which has not happened. So, you know, of course, your development of talent, I mean, of course, it goes to waste. And everything that you developed over the years has gone to waste. There have been cup competitions. The normalization committee, it's been a year since it was reinstated and they haven't organized the league. Which is, I mean, my big question is, why aren't you organizing the league? You should do it immediately, you know, so that, you know, your local talent gets a chance to play. They have organized a cup, but the cup competition, the final stages of the cup competition are still to be played and there's no date for when they would be played. So, I mean, in terms of scheduling and stuff, I mean, I don't think the normalization committee is too equipped with people who can run football and run football on a country like Pakistan, where there's so many areas, so many regions where football is very dominant. And, you know, you have players coming from those areas. You have teams from those areas. And our biggest problem is that, you know, we have teams that are usually departments. We have your electricity supply companies. You have your water supply companies. You have your armed forces, Navy, Pakistan Air Force. So, I mean, that system was abolished by the recent government, which said, you know, you should have provincial or regional-based teams. And since the new government has come in, it's reinstated the old system.
Okay.
So, I mean, a lot of these teams, because of the bans, the department disbanded their football teams because there was nothing happening. So they thought, you know, we cut our costs and, like, you know, football, we just abolished the football team. So now getting that whole thing back up is a major challenge for these departments and all. And of course, you know, my suggestion to the PFF was, you know, you could do the league with the teams that still exist, but the league hasn't happened yet. And we're waiting for it when it will happen.
So how are players chosen for the national team? What, just based on the cup competitions?
Yeah, just based on the cup competition.
Okay.
A few of them picked up from abroad. Of course, you know, you have Otis Khan, you have Issa Suleiman, right, who recently made his debut. But my problem with the foreign-based players is we're not targeting the top-tier foreign players. You know, we only get players who fail to make the grade abroad. And then they turn to Pakistan. And, okay, this is our second option. If you don't, like, Issa was a captain of the England Under-20 team.
Yes.
He played in Aston Villa. He played with the current football stars in England, but he didn't make the grade there. He couldn't make the ranks of the England senior teams. And of course, his club career also knows that in a lot of ways because he's now playing in the Portuguese second division. And that's when he decides to switch to Pakistan. My whole thing with foreign-based players is that, and this is my personal opinion, that, you know, you should always target the top-tier players. You know, your second-grade players are not going to make an impact.
I mean, but they'd be decidedly better than the Pakistani players, right? So they would still make some kind of impact.
Yeah, but it's not going to be that huge of an impact. You know, we had foreign-based players in the past. But, you know, you can see the results. We've not won a SAF championship ever. We've not won a World Cup qualifier ever. You know, I would say they're past their prime. You have Hassan Bashir, who's aged now, he's 35, doesn't have the legs anymore. Yusuf Bhatt, the goalkeeper, has been prone to errors. And I think, you know, we have local goalkeepers who might do better than them, but then him given the chance. Issa maybe, Otis maybe, yes, an upgrade. But I haven't seen that much to be convinced that they're really an upgrade. I mean, I was speaking about one of the players missing in the team, and that player is the former captain, Saddam Hussein, who's a midfield dynamo, and he's played against India in the past, especially in 2014 when we won the two-match series by 2-1 right. or something. So, I mean, he's an absolute dynamo. He's still fit. He trains. He works hard, even though there is no football. But, I mean, he's not in the team because, you know, the NC doesn't like him. So, he's not made the team. The coach, of course, is bound by whoever the NC chief wants. And it's sad to see. I mean, our midfield seems to be missing, even though it has a lot of foreign-based players. But, I mean, I don't see anyone in that, you know, box-to-box role who's better than Saddam.
Umed, in terms of the makeup of the players from Pakistan who are coming from the country rather than outside, where are they coming from now? Because I ask you this because before India and Pakistan became separate nations, a number of players from Pakistan used to come to Calcutta and play, which was probably the most important football center in South Asia back then. Some of those players were from what is now Bangladesh, but the likes of, I think, Musa Ghazi, yeah. Masood Ul Hasan Butt, Sumbal Khan, and even Masood Fakhri, these were from, say, Karachi, Punjab, and the Northwest Frontier Province. So, are these regions still producing players for the national team, or how is it?
We still have these hotbeds of football. You know, you have Chaman, which has in recent years, there have been a lot of players coming from that region, from Balochistan. I mean, that Chaman is in Balochistan. Then we have Chitral, where there are a lot of footballers. You know, one of our former strikers, Mohammad Rasool, was from Chitral. And they produce a lot of good footballers. You have Faisalabad. You have Bahawalpur, which produced Mohammad Adil, who in 2013 became the first player to sign for a league abroad. He joined the Kings League. I mean, after a considerable time, he was the first player to be picked up from Pakistan by a league abroad. So, I mean, Kalimullah, of course, he hails from Chaman. So these are hotbeds of football. The only problem with Pakistan is we haven't been able to exploit that or maybe, you know, really make good use out of it. And like, you know, you have the talent there. It just needs grooming, you know. You need to have a proper structure where these players can fit in. You need to have teams that are... You need to have a league, basically. Right now, we have a non-existent domestic structure for football. So all the talent that comes through, I mean, it just drains away. So they have never actually reached the full potential. So that's the sad part.
So, Umed, I mean, from what you're saying, you know, there was a time, okay, Pakistan have never won the SAF, but there was a time, I remember in 2003, at a packed Bangabandhu Stadium, Pakistan beat India 1-0. And in the semi-final, the playoff for the third place, India did win 2-1, but it was pretty much a clash of equal teams. So you know, apart from the bans, what shifted? And from what you're saying, the game on Wednesday could be very lopsided. So, you know, what shifted that, you know, Pakistan have receded to the point that they have, you think, over and above the bans? I mean, I understand that the bans actually yeah. were a setback, but was that the only reason?
No, I believe there are several reasons. I mean, the bands apart, I think, you know, as a nation, we fail to maximize our potential when it comes to football. You were quite right, you know, 2003, early 2000s, we were at par with India. India, like, progressed. You have the ISL. We don't even have a league. We couldn't even have a proper league, even though, I mean, there was a league running. It was never up to the same standard that the I-League was, probably. The I-League had a club structure. We never had a club structure. There were only departmental teams. So, you know, a lot of youth talent that you want to, like, you wanted to grow. So that was never coming through because we only had departmental teams who would pick players, of course, above 20 or 18 years of age. Mm-hmm. So I think India has done tremendous work on grassroots, which we've never worked on grassroots. We've only worked on, like, you know, yeah, this player has some potential. Yeah, okay, we'll pick him for our team. That's it. And there has been no proper planning on how to, like, you know, raise the profile of football in areas where there's a lot of talent. Plus, we've never completed our goal projects, and we had the most of them. We had 8 goal projects which were never completed, and they were supposed to be our national training academies. So infrastructure wise, we're so far behind. I mean, the PFF does not have its own ground, you know, a home stadium. It has to take government permission or for even holding training sessions. So it's failed to build even just a ground for itself, you know, to train the teams. So, I mean, it's a bad situation in terms of where we are as a football nation, because the players, I mean, previously they used to come to Lahore and stay in the PFF headquarters itself, which had boarding and lodging. Since the NC has come in, there has been a significant upgrade and they now stay at hotels. But to train even, they have to take like permission from the Punjab government in Lahore for the Punjab stadium. So it's a sad state in terms of where we are in terms of infrastructure, grassroots. I mean, we're not even ticking the right boxes.
I mean, in so far as India is concerned, Umed, also with the All India Football Federation does have its own headquarters, offices set up in the first decade of this millennium. But its own training center is still a work in progress. And it also, like you mentioned with Pakistan, it does need to take permission from different authorities to get the team to train. But I get it, you know, they're financially better off. There's a league in place. There's at least a three-tier pyramid at the top level that is in place. And that kind of contributes. But what you're saying is that at this level, are they coming to SAF seriously underprepared?
I wouldn't say we are coming underprepared. I mean, the team went to Mauritius and they played. I mean, the game against Kenya was good. Forget about the opening game. That was shambles. And even the third game against Djibouti, I mean, he conceded a few very sloppy goals. But, I mean, the team has been training for quite some time. The local players, especially, they've been in around a month-long training camp.
Right.
The foreign players, of course, I mean, Issa adds a bit of steel in the defense, as does Abdullah Iqbal, who plays in the Danish second division.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I think in terms of preparation, I would say we are coming prepared. But in terms of quality, I believe, I mean, I hope the team proves me wrong, but I mean, there's a significant gulf in quality between the two teams.
Right. Umed, you mentioned about the players like Isa Sulaiman and Atul Samad Harshad and stuff, and how you're not happy about them coming in. They're not, they're in a way rejects who have come in and are playing for Pakistan. Has it been easy to integrate them in the sense that has there been any friction at all between, say, the players who are from Pakistan and these players then? Or has it been easy?
No, there has been a very long debate over this. I mean, of course, there are people like me who want Pakistan to, like, go for your top-tier talents. I mean, you had Zidane Iqbal, who recently decided he would play for Iraq rather than Pakistan. Because, of course, he saw a better future there on the cusp of Manchester United's first team. So, I mean, when a player of that stature comes in to your team, of course, it provides a boost. But when you have like Danish fourth division players playing with your team, I mean, it doesn't like really inspire you in a lot of ways. Yeah. I mean, Issa, yes, he's better. He's good. His history, I mean, as England under 20 captain, yeah, he was good. Otis plays in the English fourth division, which is quite low, I believe. So we're not getting, you know, your top-tier players. We keep getting players, like even we had Zesh Rehman once. But Zesh always wanted to play for England. He even wanted to play for India. But of course, India did not have your dual nationality and stuff. And so he couldn't feature for India. So he decided, okay, I want to be an international. Then let's play for Pakistan. So, I mean, you know, it's like, you know, Pakistan has always been the second option. So what I personally believe is if you have players who are more committed to your country, whose only option is Pakistan, they would put out more stronger, better performances on the pitch than those who, for whom Pakistan was the second option or third, maybe.
What I also wanted to ask was, do you sense some friction amongst the players themselves then, as a result of what you're saying?
Right now, I don't believe there is a lot of friction. In the past, there's been quite a lot of friction. I mean, a lot of players used to accuse Zesh of not giving his all when he played for Pakistan. A lot of his teammates. Right now, there haven't been such reports. There were a few issues in 2014 and 15, especially with Kalimullah, who was the local star striker. He was a bit upset during the qualifiers for the 2018 World Cup. He wasn't too happy with the way he was being treated. But, I mean, that friction will always exist unless you have players who really, you know, who play in the top European leagues. Because, of course, you know, when those players with those resumes come into the squad, of course, the local players will be like, yeah, we're getting an upgrade. When you don't see an upgrade, there is always, you know, a thing of, you know, we are better, or whether they can do better than the foreign-based ones.
So, Umit, apart from Zidane Iqbal, are there any names that come to mind who Pakistan could have tapped into, you know, in the kind of upgrade that you're talking about?
There is Riyaz Zahid. There is Ehtezaz Hussain, who played for Molde under Solskjaer. They were playing in Europa League, Champions League, that elite level player that we're talking about. So we couldn't get them. And probably right now there is some passport issue with those players. But like right now, the midfield we have, like we have Adil Nabi, who played in the ISL. His brother Rahis Nabi is in the squad, but he's currently unattached. We had a few incidents with these foreign-based players as well in the past. So, I mean, right now, I believe we can do much better if we want to like adopt this this foreign-based model. I mean, there was a lot of talk in Pakistan, a lot of talk on social media that, you know, there were people debating about the inclusion of these foreign-based players. And some people who were in favor of it, they cited the example of Morocco at the World Cup. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, frankly, what I believe is Morocco had the cream of Europe playing for their team. I mean, the best players, some of the best players in Europe playing for them, you know, there's no better right back than Ashraf Hakimi, I believe, and they had him playing for them. So, I mean, the level of players that could really make a difference, we're missing out on those.
Right. Well, Umit, final question. Your prediction for the game on Wednesday, and how far do you think Pakistan's going to go this time in the SAF?
Well, I hope we win it. I am probably one of the fiercest critic of the team, but I hope they go on and win it, and they can like put everything aside, the travel and everything, and they just put in the performance of their lives and win it. But if you look at it realistically, I mean, I think it will be difficult to get out of the group, especially with Kuwait in the group. And Nepal, we just lost to them 1-0. Recently after the ban was lifted. But, you know, with the foreign-based players, you know, maybe we can do better than that 1-0. I mean, I hope we can do wonders there in India, but on paper and from what I've seen in recent performances, I don't think, you know, we'd make it out of the group.
Well, thank you so much, Umit. Thank you for being candid, as always, your writings are. Thank you for taking time out and telling India about football in Pakistan, being honest about it. India will miss you this time, but here's wishing Pakistan all the best, and here's wishing you all the best.
Thanks, Umit.
Thank you. All the best, guys.
That was it for this episode. If you want to reach out to us, you can find us on our Twitter handles, at Vivek9301 and at DemanHT. If you're a true football fan, you cannot not subscribe to Kickoff, our weekly newsletter on the World Game, which hits inboxes every Friday. For more updates on this podcast, follow HT Smartcast on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and LinkedIn. And to listen to more such podcasts, log on to htsmartcast.com.
To stay updated on this podcast, follow us at HT Smartcast on all the major social media platforms. To listen to more such podcasts, log on to www.htsmartcast.com.